The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
It is Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, call Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop. And you buy Metallica, Pirates of the Caribbean, Adidas, Deadpool, Wolverine, and more. Hashtag Epic Partner. We're here to talk SummerSlam, and I'm not alone. We have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
I, too, am here to slam the summer.
You are, indeed. And the man who has reached his peak in pro wrestling, one intern, King Kittens.
Welcome to SummerFest.
It's not your peak, though?
Not my peak?
Your peak, the peak of pro wrestling, Brent.
Oh, God. Oh, that comment.
What, you know?
It took me a second, but I hate you. According to Willow Nightingale, the moment where Hangman Adam Page had the blood of Swerve Strickland drop into his mouth and then he spit it up into the air was the peak of pro wrestling.
Oh, gross.
The peak. And then
Another
we have
Apex.
And then we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, provided everything works fine, I am here. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. It's the SummerSlam preview! Woohoo! You can find us at twitch.tv/WTR live, the interactive chat room. Come on down! And chat with us in the chat room. We'll respond to you. I know for sure that Matt will say shit, and you can respond to him. For example, at least on my Twitter or my X account, Brent, he's accusing you of being a wannabe Canadian.
My heritage will say otherwise, but okay.
Well, he's just saying that he's accusing you of it, but that's all there is. I don't know.
That's super.
Yeah.
I know what I am, and I know what my background is, and yeah.
All right, what is your background?
My father was an American citizen born in London. My grandmother is full-blooded British. On my other side, my grandfather on my mom's side was American. My grandmother on my mom's side is native Canadian. My mom was born in Canada.
There'll be a discussion later on this.
Technically. It only counts if you have a passport or dual citizenship.
Why?
Because that's the rule. I don't make them up. Mm-hmm. Not these ones, anyway.
I accept you, Brent.
I mean, technically, I can't have dual citizenship if I'm an American.
I'm not saying we'd turn you away or anything like that.
No, I'm saying as I believe the U.S. citizenship rules say that I cannot be dual anywhere. I am either American or not.
Well, you got to pick your poison. That's absolutely the truth. But
and Joel Embiid did that, and he got booed all in France for it.
There you go. Yeah, don't bring up France. We're not talking about we're not going to be talking about France or the Olympics or anything like that. But I think what we are going to be talking about is the most important news of the year.
I mean, Tim, I could have a drone fly over and, you know, do some recon if we need to.
No, that's going to cost you 6 points, so I wouldn't if I were you.
And also $350,000.
And combined total 2 year suspension. One each.
Including the head coach who got fired.
Yeah, so I would avoid the drones, especially if it's closed. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, the Canadian women's soccer team got into deep shit because the coaching staff was using drones to spy on their opponent during a closed practice. They got caught. It's a scandal that happened even before the opening ceremonies started.
and remind me, Tim, why is it such a big deal that Canada did that?
Why is it such a big deal that anybody would have done that? It was a closed practice. Spied on them. It was a big-ass no-no.
Well, I mean, also the fact that they are the defending gold medal champions. Well, so it really does not look good for them, because there are people saying it dates back to before this Olympics as well.
Oh, yeah. No, the accusation, unproven, speculative accusation, is that they were doing that 4 years ago. But, hey, the Canadian women's soccer team won their first game today.
No, they won their second game today.
Oh, their second game today. Sorry.
Yep, so they are now sitting at 0 points.
They are now sitting at 0 points, and they still have a chance to win the gold medal.
Yep.
Believe it or not, just because of those two wins, erase the deficit. So if they win the gold medal, I don't know if you can call it tainted or not. At this point in time, I would doubt it. But I wanted to talk about the other big news of the year before we get to SummerSlam, Casey.
What's that?
It's the return of Robert Downey Jr. to the MCU.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert, nothing. It's been all over social media and everything.
I just wanted to put it out there for in case people hadn't heard and didn't want to hear quite yet.
If you've been on vacation and haven't had any internet service and you don't want spoilers, stop listening or skip ahead like 5 minutes.
Just a couple minutes. Yeah. Plug your ears. Okay. Now that your ears are plugged, everybody else is curious as what I'm talking about and don't know it yet. Robert Downey Jr. is Dr. Doom. And holy shit, did you catch the pop when he took the mask off?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, that was something else. Now, how epic would it be if Marvel is just trolling everybody?
No, not with the problem with that is they completely rewrote what happened in the MCU because of it.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, Jonathan Major, who had been Kang the Conqueror and had made appearances in at least two MCU properties, had been fired due to some legal issues.
Yeah, that's the probably the most generically vague way you could say he got his ass in hot water.
I don't want to make any kind of a, because it's still being adjudicated through systems, from what I understand. So I'm just myself and the network keeping it safe.
Heaven forbid that we would follow suit and decide that the person's guilty before the facts are all out.
But with that, he had been released from his contract with Marvel, and as such, because the, I believe, fifth Avengers movie, which is coming out in 2025.
What is that, Secret Wars?
No, Secret Wars is the 26th. 25, okay, I can't remember what was before, but they had since renamed it Doomsday, And Doom, I think, was supposed to appear in Secret Wars anyway, but they have since course-corrected and essentially made him the bigger villain of this arc. And, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. came out yesterday in the Doom gear, removed his helmet, and people lost their shit. And I will admit I'm one of those people that was just like, oh, okay, I'm here for this.
Yeah, I kind of lost my shit a little bit. I popped. I went, no fucking way. Holy cow. And, of course, my slightly cynical Gen X self thought back over the last several years of what could only be thought of as property failure compared to Phase 1, 2, 3, 4. Part of the reason why they brought Robert Downey Jr. back was to try to regain the audience that they had been losing in bits and pieces ever since Far From Home. That's my speculation, anyway.
I can see that, but I also think that they were going to try and bring Downey Jr. back in some way, shape, or form for the Avengers movies, because when you have the multiverse, when you have the variants and the splitting timelines, you brought in the ability to do that, and we've seen that throughout the Marvel movies of this past phase.
Yeah, and I remember before Multiverse of Madness came out that people were absolutely going crazy and speculating that Tom Cruise was going to appear as Superior Iron Man.
That could have happened.
They went so far as to create a CGI Tom Cruise as Tony Stark, Superior Iron Man. I don't know if you saw that or not, but it did look pretty good, but he's too short.
The movie previously was going to be The Kang Dynasty.
Yes.
Oh, that's it.
And it has since been changed to Doomsday. So
as long as they've got the correct writers on board, I'd love to see them bring back what's his name to direct.
Oh, they've got Anthony and Joe Russo for both the Avengers films. It was revealed at that same panel.
Oh, I missed that part. The Russo brothers are coming back. Then I'm not that worried about how the movie's going to turn out then.
And Stephen McFeely is writing the script for at least Doomsday.
Who played Happy Hogan?
Jon Favreau.
Yeah. I'd like to see Favreau come back and direct a few, because I think he did a great job with the two Iron Man movies.
That is possible.
Anyway, that's what?
And just so you know, Tim, McFeely, the writer of the movie, is the same one who was on at least the staff or was writer primary for Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame.
Yeah, for like the best of the best of the first four phases.
So there you go.
So he wasn't like head writer or anything like that for those.
Well, he might have been actually.
I think he was the guy that did the final rewrites.
He was co-writer on Winter Soldier with Marcus, or with Christopher Marcus. Yeah, he's had at least some way, shape, or form with all this.
And what's really great is, in my opinion, Winter Soldier is actually the best Marvel Cinematic Universe movie out there. It's like, if you take away Captain America as a super serum, jacked up super soldier, and made him like basic like spy, it would be a fantastic spy movie. Anyway, I don't know that we have any more to talk about with the MCU and all that other stuff. So maybe we should just preview Summerfest.
I mean, the joke he already made the joke of Summer. Okay. Anyway, we're here to talk about SummerSlam.
I know, he already made that joke.
Yes, one Summerfest joke a week. Anyway, we're talking about SummerSlam, which is live this Saturday on Peacock and the WWE Network Worldwide, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Check your time and local areas for, time availability in your area, yada, yada, yada. All right, there's six title matches and one match with a special guest referee. We're going to start with the match that has the special guest referee. It's CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. It's been building for months and months and months and months. And here we are.
Since Royal Rumble.
Since Survivor Series.
And what we talked about last night during our simulations of all of this, this is also the first televised match of CM Punk since returning to the WWE.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because remember, he was in the Royal Rumble.
Right.
Then got hurt and has been out for a long time. So this is his first, like, singles match since he's come back.
For television. He did the two matches
for television, yes.
At house shows at the end of December. Beyond that, he has not wrestled.
I like the added bit of Seth, because normally when you have, like, special guest referee, there is, like, a bent for one way. With this, both guys hate him, and he hates both guys. So it really does give you that, like, is Seth going to screw over one guy to get at another, or is he... I said last night, I want to see a redo of Seth Rollins' special guest referee that John Cena did when Punk and Wade Barrett fought, where he literally just smacks both people and tries to goad them into hitting him because he's the ref.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, they should have that in there at least a little bit.
Where it's like, you know, Drew wants to hit him and Seth's like, go for it, right here, do it, do it. And Drew has to, like, turn around and be like, no, damn it, I'm gonna focus on Punk instead. But yeah, I like I said, people were already claiming, like, oh, this should be Hell in a Cell to start. No, you never start with this as Hell in a Cell because there's nowhere to go from it. Yeah. At least with this, if you have a special guest referee, Seth could play it down the middle. He could try and pull a Shawn Michaels and, you know, go to hit CM Punk with a chair and smacks Drew McIntyre and is like, god damn it. And has to count the pinfall. There's a lot of different ways this could go. And coming out of it, this probably isn't going to be a one-off. This is probably going to lead to something like Bad Blood, where if you wanted to, you could do a cage.
Or a three-way.
Or just a legit three-way between all the competitors. But it gives you more to go off of than just, we're going to have these guys fight here, and then we're going to try and run it back again at the next pay-per-view.
You do the three-way at the Bash in Berlin, leading to Hell in a Cell.
Bad Blood.
Mm-hmm. The Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to be like, is Hell in a Cell back? Did I miss that?
Well, that's weird. Well, it will be at Bad Blood, probably, because that's the whole idea of calling it the event.
Right.
25 years.
But I think everyone's looking forward to, like, that moment that Drew and Punk really do get hands on one another after all these months, because you've had Punk screwing Drew repeatedly. You've had Drew, you know, laying out Punk, which no one really saw, but laying out Punk. And so now this is that moment where it's just like, oh no, they get to get hands and it's in front of everyone. So the pop is going to be big once the bell rings.
I've got a bit of a feeling that Seth is actually going to call it right down the middle, but he curb stomps the winner.
I mean, that could work, and plus it could build towards, I think, what everyone is thinking of Seth and Punk at possibly Mania, which was supposed to be at this year, but, you know, things got in the way.
Yeah, what do you think, Casey?
I mean, putting Seth in there definitely adds to, like, the amount of scenarios you can have coming out of that match. The Shawn Michaels angle works, the angle of him taking out whoever wins after he calls it down the middle works. He could literally, like, before the match starts, come in, beat the piss out of both guys, and then ring the bell. It's the possibilities are kind of endless. It's interesting to, like, and fun to kind of think about, like, how it's gonna go, because it doesn't favor both of them, but he also, like, it's not like when they normally put a guest referee into a match and he doesn't really have a whole lot, like, of a vested interest, whereas this one, like, Seth is all in on hating both of these guys, and you just have no idea, like, how it's gonna start, how it's gonna end. I like the idea of him, like, goading them into hitting him. I want to see that, because I think it'll be funny, especially because he'll, like, stick his chin out and they'll walk away and he'll do that, like, smarmy Seth laugh that he's been doing lately. It'll be good.
You know, 10 years ago, a match like this, and I would have been, yeah, like, whatever, let's just, like, watch it and then talk about it. But that was 10 years ago. I'm really looking forward to this, precisely because we actually really don't know which way they're going to go with it. And like I said, 10 years ago, we could have basically written out the entire match ourselves before it happened and be 95% right.
But it's always good to have a little bit of unpredictability with stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, no, it's great to have unpredictability in professional wrestling. That was what was so great up until 2004. Then it got stale. You knew what was going to happen. all of a sudden they reverted back to 1980s WWF. And there were nights that Monday was a bit of a slog getting through. But, it's just indirectly complimenting the booking and the writing here. But who you got winning this one, Cash?
I'm not 100, I don't have a definitive answer, but I think I'm going to lean towards Drew getting the win here, only because CM Punk sort of screwed Seth Rollins out of getting a title shot as long as Priest holds the title. So I feel like even though he doesn't like Drew, I think he hates Punk just a tiny bit more because Punk took away his title shot in screwing over Drew. So I think if anything is if it's not going to go Shawn Michaels style, I think it'll end up being Drew for the win.
Okay. Who you got, Brent?
See, I would go with that if it weren't for the fact that there was that backstage segment where Damian basically said, as soon as I'm done with Gunther, we will run it back, but I'm going to show you I'm better. So the gentleman's agreement essentially was off because Priest has basically said, I'm going to, stipulation be damned, I'm still going to give you a shot at this. I think what happens here is you have more legs of Seth. Seth does a Shawn Michaels thing, accidentally hits Drew. Punk will cover, and Rollins will begrudgingly count, and then if he needs to, he'll hit him after the match and start to build that specifically as a one-on-one feud. But I also feel like if you have Drew lose here, he still is a little bit more unhinged and will keep chasing Punk, leading to the big kind of blow-off.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay. Here you go, Tim.
I really, to tell you the truth, like the idea of replaying Sean being the special ref between Brett and Taker.
But on who?
That in there.
But okay? On who? But on who?
On who? Well, here's the thing, is what I'm leading to. Because of what happened, I am speculating that the bias that we see from Seth is against Punk. And whatever shenanigans happens at the climax at the end of the match, Punk ducks and Drew gets knocked out. And Seth reluctantly counts 1, 2, 3. And Punk wins. And
so Casey is a man
scenario,
on an island.
That's okay. Scenario. Yeah, that scenario. You said it. It makes Drew more unhinged going after him because he didn't win. He didn't lose legit, right? And we've seen it before. Nothing new in professional wrestling. But as I think I'd like to see the match play out that way with Punk getting the victory.
Sounds good. All right, it's the rematch. Intercontinental title: Sami Zayn, Bron Breakker.
I think Sami's going to die.
Yeah, I think this rematch is going to be a lot more painful than the initial match. What do you think, Brent? You started. You think Sami's going to die? Fill us in.
So we had the first match, and you kind of had Sami with the veteran experience pull out the win because, Braun tried to go for the spear a few times. But ultimately, Sami was able to avoid it, hit the Huluva kick, got the win. We've seen Braun routinely since then targeting and just leaving Sami laying time after time after time since then and win his number one contendership. So in this, I think it's just one of those where Braun realizes it's okay, no, I have to keep the pedal down the entire time. And this is one of those where I could see, Braun hit 2 or 3 spears at the end to make sure Sami is down. He'll do the one and Sammy's there and he kind of pulls down the straps and it's all right, boom, hits a second. And then the third one, he does the running off the ropes 2 or 3 times and then just buries him with that one.
Okay. And so you're picking Braun as the winner and new champ.
Yeah, I think Braun gets the belt here because you can kind of carry him forward as this juggernaut. I don't think he needs to hold the belt for 666 days, but
yeah,
give him a couple of months with that belt. Let him just be the monster that Pierce has to control. And then when you want to move him on, or if you find someone that you want to put him up against that can take the belt off of him, so be it.
Yeah, well, sounds good. Casey, what do you figure?
I think Braun is going to learn from the mistake he made in the last match and beat Sammy so bad that he's going to have no choice but to lose. Like, I think, yeah, Braun is going to make absolutely sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that he beats Sammy. Like, there's going to be no cockiness, no walking around. He's going to lay waste to him and make sure that he wins.
Okay.
What do you think?
That works.
I see this as, initially at the beginning of the match, Sammy is able to avoid Braun's offense and counterattack until either he is literally caught by Braun or a mistake happens. A little bit of an oopsie that allows Braun to capitalize. And then, after 10 minutes, it becomes a squash match, and Sammy's left laying in a pool of his own sweat, with Braun winning and the new
Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
All right. The U.S. title's on the line. Logan Paul, L.A. Knight. What do you think, Tim?
I would love to see anything happen to chase Logan Paul away from the WWE for a while. I begrudgingly admit now that, okay, he doesn't suck in the ring, and he's fantastic as a heel, and I'd enjoy him as a heel wrestler a lot more if I didn't hate Logan Paul before he even got involved with WWE. I have never liked this guy. I can't stand him, and if it wasn't LA Knight, this would be my snack break match. But that said, we're going to see some high flying, some this is awesome, and maybe one or two holy shit spots. But I may be wrong, but out of sheer dislike of Logan Paul, I'm picking LA Knight.
Cash, what do you think?
Only because I'd like to see LA Knight have a title, and I think this is a good place to start for him. I'm not 100% confident he's going to win, but because he's been doing, like, he's super popular and he's been doing so good, I really want to see him win that title, so I'm going to pick him as well.
Brent?
They've been pushing Knight for a bit. They kind of cooled him off because they gave him, you know, like a few world title shots with Roman, whether it was the single or the four-way. A lot of people have wanted to see this kind of happen a little bit sooner, of him getting the first championship on the main roster and a chance to kind of shine as a champion. I think this is going to be the moment where he does do it. It's also going to be the moment where the internet can shut the hell up about the fact that Logan Paul has only defended the U.S. title twice. Oh my God, this is horrible. He's had a bunch of matches in that whole interim. Were they for the U.S. title? No, but that's also because he was challenging for the world title. He was in a triple threat. There were moments where he wasn't going to put his U.S. title on the line. Yes, maybe two defenses might not be a lot, but at the same time, it's not, you know, this horrible offense that he has only defended it twice.
He didn't disappear from television.
No, like, he would go away for a bit, and then he would
a week or
come
two.
Back
it was like
normal.
It was like a week or two he'd miss, and then he's back.
Right. And so, like, this whole thing, they made it sound like he Brock Lesnar'd it and just like, oh, he disappeared for months and then would come back and fight at a PLE and then disappear again. He's been working SmackDowns.
Yeah.
But this is a chance to get LA Knight a little bit of extra shine. It gives Logan a chance, as Tim said, you know, maybe to go away for a little bit so that he can come back and kind of pop the fans a little bit. Maybe he can go watch his brother die to Mike Tyson sometime later this year.
If
that ever actually takes place.
Look, I want to see Jake Paul just get buried, okay? Let me have this, please.
No, we all do.
Anything. I'm not disagreeing with you. I want to see Jake Paul get his ass handed to him by a 58-year-old myself.
Yeah, we want to see it happen. We want to see it happen.
Mike Tyson's heart and his health, dude. It might never happen.
It may never happen. Like, that's the problem. It may not happen for us. So
I get that, but I'm holding out hope.
I mean, if need be, I'll go kick his ass. Just pay me.
Okay.
All right, so, then.
So next on the...
Wait, I don't know if Casey did LA Knight.
I did.
You did. Yeah. All right. Women's titles on the line. Bayley defends against Nia Jax. Casey, what are you thinking about this one?
It's interesting because you've got Nia, who's won the Queen of the Ring, but Bayley is a fairly new champion. But then you throw Tiffany Stratton in that mix too. So it'll be interesting. I feel like Nia Jax might win, but like almost immediately Tiffany Stratton's going to take it from her. I think that's kind of, that feels like what it's leading up to. Like, I feel like Tiffany's going to cash in that night, and like Nia Jax will kind of have like a quick little reign, sort of like Drew did at Mania, but yeah. And then with a quick cash in after.
So you're going Nia.
I'm going Nia. I'm enjoying Bayley's run though, and I feel like it could have a little more legs to it, but just with how they're kind of setting everything up and with Nia and Tiffany kind of being pseudo together, I feel like that's the route that would be the most fun.
Okay. Tim, what do you think?
Well, I kind of absolutely hate to agree with Casey on this, just because I really want Bayley to have that title for a while. However, I just get the feeling that the entire WrestleMania win was just the icing on the cake to a great storyline between her and her former friends. And it has served its purpose. And they were just using the time between Mania and next Saturday to position everybody properly where they wanted them to be for Tiff to actually get the title by, via cash-in. And, I'm going to reluctantly say that after a hard-fought battle that takes it out of both women, Nia wins the title and loses it 2 minutes later.
Okay, Brian.
I have the same person winning overall. I don't have the cash-in happen at SummerSlam. I think it's a little too fast. I think Tiffany will bide her time a little bit more. I think you also have to kind of pay off the thing of Nia getting the new case for Tiffany. And I don't think they're going to do, hey, we're going to, get this supposed new case for Tiffany Stratton and then immediately have it cashed in and not have, as much marketability out of it as possible. I think what will happen is either, and Lindsay brought up a good point when we talked over the weekend, either Nia has something god-awful and Tiffany's just kind of like, okay. And Tiffany will go out and essentially get her own. Like, yeah, Nia, thanks. That was great. I did this. And it's like fully blinged out the way it should be. Or I think it just needs a little bit more legs behind it. Now, ultimately, I think Nia does pick up the win here because I think we've seen Nia in the title picture before. She was fed to Rhea Ripley at Australia, and it was a way of making Rhea look dominant. She took down this beast of a woman in her home country to kind of give her some legs before she went to fight at Mania against Becky. I think in this instance, what'll happen is you're going to pay off her winning Queen of the Ring. You can put the belt on her. You can have the eventual turn by Tiffany because Tiffany will just be sitting back behind her the whole time, looking at her, biding her time. But I think here you have the moment where Bayley's going to put over Nia. And worst case, you can get a rematch in Berlin or, at another PLE. But you don't need to have Tiffany hold the case until Survivor Series or a while. I think it just needs a little bit of time in order to have that kind of marketability for what they're going to do with the case.
Okay. Up next, the women's world titles on the line. Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, Casey.
This is tough because do they keep it on Liv or do they give it back to Rhea? It's interesting. Like, the story is developing in a way that kind of makes you question, like, what may or may not happen with Dom, mm-hmm. whether he's feigning hating Liv or if Rhea kind of like pseudo making it seem like she's sort of flirting with Jay is going to get into his head, or if they're just kind of leave it as it is with Rhea and Dom and then just kind of Liv being Liv. I kind of like how they've been. I mean, I know it's not some people's favorite storyline, but I am enjoying the kind of, they're telling it in a way that makes me unsure of who's going to win, which I always like.
Yeah, it's good storytelling where that's like, you're not sure, okay, you know the direction they could go. It's very obvious they could go that way. But it's like, well, maybe they don't.
Yeah. And I mean, and then you've got like, with everything else going on in Judgment Day, it almost feeds more into that like dissolution, or maybe, you know, Rhea stays or Dom stays with Rhea, but then it ends up being like Finn that causes the problems because he's with Liv instead of costing Priest his title that he costs Rhea hers.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of great like intertwining storytelling going here, and it's very hard to decide which way this is going to go. But I think for fun, I'm going to pick Liv because there's going to be some sort of shenanigans that allows her to keep that title, I feel like. To like kind of further either dissension between Rhea and Dom or dissension and Judgment Day in general. I think that's how that's going to go.
Brent, what's your thought?
I'm kind of in line with Casey a bit on this because I think what happens is, so we've had, you know, Rhea coming back and has kind of derailed the Liv Morgan revenge tour because Liv got the belt, then Liv was going for Dom. And then Rhea comes back, and it's like, okay. I think if you want to do something, you either have Finn or Dom turn on Rhea here. I would have Dom do it, because I think what you can do is in the next promo that he has, where it's like he can come out with Liv, and his whole thing is going to be, you know, Rhea, you thought you were in control. You thought that, you know, you had me under your thumb. It was always, you know, oh, your mommy. You know, I'm not like that. Liv gave him a chance essentially to kind of quote unquote be the dominant one with him being daddy. And what you can do is you can start to really have that splintering of Judgment Day where you have essentially the OC group, which is Damian and Rhea, because they're always together. We saw the video of them walking backstage where it was Finn, JD, and kind of Carlito.
Yeah,
and Dom. And then, like, Rhea and Damian, the parents, were kind of off on their own looking at, you know, TikToks or whatever. They were looking at their phones and laughing and everything. So I think what you can do is you can start to splinter off and you can have Finn basically play that role of, like, leadership of, like, you know, Damian, you said you didn't, you know, we needed you more than you needed us. And, you know, we're tired of this. We won the tag team championships. We helped you keep your belt. You're nothing without us. And, you know, we did fine when Rhea wasn't even here as well. And what you can do is you can throw Liv into that group as well. So Liv sitting there with Balor and Dom, because she's been proven to be an asset for that group, and they'll recognize that. And plus, that way you have, like, Rhea can target Liv, Damian can go after Balor or, you know, Dominic, and then if they need an extra person or two to help kind of take on the Judgment Day, they can do that. But it at least keeps the face part of it separate, because we've already seen fans love Rhea, fans have been cheering Damian, but I don't know if they necessarily want to cheer Balor, Dom, and JD. And yeah. Then Carlito's just there. Let's just be honest. He's the R-Truth right now of that group.
Less funny R-Truth.
he has his moments, but it's still like, it's not hitting in the same way. But I think, well, and also I think for this, you can kind of carry it forward where Liv has the belt and maybe, you know, Lyra is the next challenger. You've got a couple people who are sitting and waiting. You could have someone re-debut with the company here, as we saw during the simulation, and she could instantly be a contender for that title.
Yeah.
I think with that, you have a little bit more that you can do with Liv holding the belt and Damian and Rhea more focused on the fracturing or, you know, the absolute splinter of the Judgment Day, and Liv can focus on battling whoever for the title next. So okay. I'm going to go with Liv Morgan out of this because I think there's more storyline with her and more that you can kind of tell by having her keep the belt in that match.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Well, not to plot out the entire destruction of the Judgment Day over the next 8 weeks like Brent kind of sort of did. Focusing a little bit more on tonight or on next Saturday and then the following Monday. I'm just going to pick Liv to retain, and it's going to be Dominic's fault. He does something that buggers up something that causes Rhea to get pinned, and it's all a great big oopsie, 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 I'm sorry, and blah, 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 and, you know, maybe there's a backstage segment or two or something like that. But the following Monday is the final 100% face turn of Rhea Ripley when it's discovered that Dominic did it on purpose. To touch on some points that Brent said, Dom's decided he liked being daddy as opposed to being mommy's boy.
Okay.
Now, if that all happens, it happens, and I'll be entertained because I call it. But yeah, at the end of the day, my pick and pick is Liv retains.
Sticking with the Judgment Day, Tim, it's Damian Priest and Gunther for the World Heavyweight title.
Oh, damn. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be, in my opinion, one hell of an enjoyable match. I love the wrestling of Gunther, and I really, ever since he came up, have really appreciated Damian's ability in the ring. Mm-hmm. And I expect these two to actually elevate each other. And this is a case of I don't care who wins. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm expecting this to be match of the night candidate, and I'm expecting to be thoroughly enjoying this entire match. I am going to say that despite Damian's admonitions to stay in the back, JD and Finn show up, but they don't cost Damian the title. They piss him off, even though because of them, Damian retains and beats Gunther. That's okay. My call.
Case, what about you?
I really want to see Damian win a title without any sort of like shenanigans, just so that he can kind of cement himself as like a guy that can actually do it without assistance, which is clearly what he's been kind of gunning for the whole time. And I mean, deservedly so. He's very 100% capable of being that kind of champion. I don't know if that'll happen now because, like Tim said, that interference will tie in and kind of further that whole Judgment Day storyline thing. So I think Damian will retain, but it will be a good match, and it'll have to be shenanigans in order to kind of keep Gunther from like taking a clean loss, which I don't think he needs right now. They should keep him kind of like in the rain that he's been going, because if he loses clean, then even though he had that historic Intercontinental title reign and his like big King of the Ring win, as soon as he takes a big loss like that, then all of a sudden all of that kind of takes away from him, and then what do you do with him? So I think Damian's gonna have to go over not clean.
Okay. Right.
I think in this one, building off of what I did with the Rhea match, I think this is going to be a clean victory for Gunther. If anything, what you could do is you could have Finn kind of like walk out on the ramp. Like Finn's gonna walk out like he's gonna interfere, and he just stops and he looks, and then he turns and walks back. Damian can lose, and I think that provides the needling that can help, again, splinter the Judgment Day, because you can have Finn sitting there going, you know, hey, you know, oh, tough loss, you couldn't get it done there. Well, I guess it's someone else's turn to go after the big title now. And that's where Finn can kind of use his, he can kind of like stake his claim, or he can use the moment where he can fire back with what Damian had said earlier in the run of essentially like, so you see, you now need us because we have the belts that you don't anymore. So now you need this group more than we need you. And it starts to be, you know, the thing where Finn can needle him. And it'll allow Finn, or allow Damian to grow still as a babyface more until he finally either gets turned on ultimately by the Judgment Day because they think he's just a weak link or they're tired of his stuff. Or he kind of snaps and beats up the heels of the group and you have that splinter there again as well. So, but I think with this, what you can do is you can have Gunther win, you can give him a world title reign. Again, doesn't need to be long, can be a few months. It doesn't need to be the epic reign he did with the Intercontinental belt. But Damian being a champion, I don't think if he loses it here, it's going to sour anything about his reign. He had a good couple of months. You can move the belt around a little bit so it's not just on one guy. And you can kind of further what will be the bigger storyline moving forward of Damian versus Finn that has been building for close to 2 years now.
Something like that.
So I have Gunther winning here.
Okay. And then the undisputed WWE titles on the line. Cody Rhodes, Solo Sikoa, Keish.
I mean, there's going to be like interference 6 ways from Sunday, but I think Cody's going to keep it somehow. I don't know how, but I feel like he's still going to keep it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There isn't, I can't really go into too much detail aside from that. Like, there's going to be, I don't know if there's going to be people coming out, if this is where the seeds start being planted for the Bloodline Civil War, or if it's just going to be, you know, Owens and Randy Orton coming out to help Cody fend off the interference from the Bloodline. I'm not really sure, but I feel like Cody's going to retain.
Right.
This one's actually really hard for me because part of me is like, Cody needs to defeat the Bloodline, put them in his rearview mirror, move on from that, and if you want to, have him fight Randy or whoever as another challenger. At the same time, I don't know if Solo may really need the belt here to help cement him and the Bloodline 2.0 as kind of a more top-heavy threat. Because, I mean, they've been shown as vicious. That's a given. And they picked up the win at Money in the Bank in the triple or in the six-man tag. But it feels like for Solo to be able to claim, you know, I'm head of the table, and for it to be credible for when Roman comes back to be like, you know, oh, you think you're head of the table, I think he may need the belt a bit in order for that to kind of hold any weight. Because if Solo doesn't win here, Roman comes back and it could be, you know, you lost the belt at Mania and Roman can be like, yeah, I held it for 3.5 years. What more do you need for head of the table? You can't even win the dang belt, you know, with 3 other people in your corner. I think Solo needs it in order to be like, you know, look, you're the past. We were able to get this done. We were able to do the thing that you couldn't, which was beat Cody in the moment. For that, I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to pick Solo. Because you can take the belt off of Cody, and if you need to, you have him pick it back up on the build to, you know, build before Mania so that he can have the belt at Mania.
Tim?
Oh, Cody's going to retain the belt, but there's going to be shenanigans and nastiness and but it all leads up to the return of a certain individual who has come to reclaim the head of the table. And I believe, and I have believed this for a while now, that SummerSlam is the genesis of the Bloodline Civil War. Cody retains, Roman Reigns returns to confront Solo and Bloodline 2.0.
Okay.
The Roman Reigns Revenge Tour. And then we're going to have a version of NWO black and white versus NWO Wolfpack. Only Bloodline.
It's possible. We'll have to see. So you can go to facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork once all the matches are official, and hopefully there's no more matches. I think there may be one more, because we've got all singles matches. I think we may get something else along the lines. I know they're doing a couple of tag matches on television, but maybe we'll get one more match.
Yeah, because I know SummerSlam. The SmackDown tag is Yeah, they're doing the SmackDown title match with the Bloodline and DIY. And
the women's titles are also on SmackDown this week.
Okay.
So we'll see if they add something else. We'll see what happens. But that's our show.
That's it for this evening. Whoa. The go-home week begins tomorrow night with WWE Raw on USA Network in the States.
No.
What?
It's on Sci-Fi. It's on Sci-Fi.
Yep.
Oh, it's on Sci-Fi next week. Why is that?
Olympics.
Oh. Okay. Goddamn Olympics. All right, so it's on Sci-Fi in the excited states of America, but it's still on Sportsnet 360 here in Canada. And immediately, as soon as it's done, it's the post-show.
Yes, Sci-Fi for next 2 weeks for Monday Raw and NXT, but we'll be live with the Raw post-show at 11 p.m. Eastern.
And, of course, we haven't heard yet from the lovely Lindsay Ward, but you're going to get a chance to do that Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, with another episode of The Rack, where she's going to talk to you about SummerSlam and Southern cooking, and, well, maybe not, I don't know. But, yeah, The Rack, 10 o'clock Eastern.
We'll preview SummerSlam, and guess what? We have something planned for in August for The Rack, so...
Evil laugh.
So we'll see what happens in August. But The Rack preview SummerSlam this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Are you guys still having GM wars?
GM battles Friday nights, 10 ish p.m. Eastern.
Season 5.
Saturday is not a regular programming Saturday, because Saturday is SummerSlam, and there's going to be a special Rack Extra.
Is the Rack Extra review SummerSlam live. Whenever SummerSlam ends, we'll be live. We'll talk all about SummerSlam. And then we'll be back next Sunday night for WTR Sunday night. These guys will give their full review of the biggest party in the summer. It's at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday night on Twitter and Facebook. Tim?
Yes.
Social?
I'm on X, Twitter, whatever. Follow me at Flames Forums. I've got a question right now that Americans can guess at, and Canadians can see if they're smart enough to figure it out. The word hoser, where did that come from? Canadian slang sort of insult, take off, you hoser. What's the origin of that? See if you can answer it on X. Find it.
Cash?
Yeah, you can find me on 98% of social media platforms at Kyle Driver. There might be one or two that I haven't done out of sheer laziness. But if you look for Kyle Driver and you don't find me, it probably means I'm not on it.
There you go. Brant.
Yeah, you can find me across social media, you know, X/Twitter, Instagram threads at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. Yeah, I should be there in either of those kind of things. And if not, then I don't know what to tell you.
There you go. Chat, as a reminder, if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. Click the purple rectangle button below the screen. Use QR code RocketSock in the Fortnite shop when you buy Metallica, Pirates of the Caribbean, Deadpool and Wolverine, and everything else you could possibly imagine, even probably Doctor Doom in about a month. Hashtag Epic Partner. Send us home, Tim.
Well, everybody, that's it. I hope you enjoyed our preview this evening. I hope you have a fantastic week. The go-home week to SummerSlam. And we'll catch you next Sunday night for SummerSlam Review right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Sunday night. Say goodnight, Keishi.
Good night, everybody. Enjoy slamming summer. You're the one I'm singing about. The star is born. Reach for the stars. For